We welcome everyone in our audience this morning. We are truly honored with your presence, and we pray that as we continue to worship our God in spirit and in truth, that we also are mutually edified, not only by His Word, but by every act of worship, and that we may depart this building being filled with spiritual feasts that we are taking part of. To our guests, thank you for being here. We truly enjoy your presence, and we hope that you would be willing to share your information with us so that we can continue to forge these bonds of fellowship. Please open your Bibles to the second epistle of Peter. Second letter of Peter, chapter 2. Whereas we begin to conclude this third quarter's subjects, we will read something that is very crucial and essential. 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning there at verse 1. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Please bow with me in prayer. Our Heavenly Father and our beloved God, Father, we bow before Thee, giving Thee all honor and all praise. We thank Thee, Father, for truly through these words, we are able to confirm that Thy Word is truly inspired, but also, Father, how that Thou art omniscient and omnipresent. How, Father, even though this was written thousands of years ago, Father, it still stands true today, and it will continue to stand true tomorrow and forevermore, for it is Thy Spirit who has spoken it. Thus, Father, allow us to put on hold the woes of life, that we, Father, may concentrate, meditate, and completely focus on Thy Word, not on Your messenger, but on the message, Father, and that I may speak in accordance to Thy will, that I, Father, may be Thy servant that seeks, Father, to speak, Father, as Thou have spoken. Please, Father, allow us all to listen intently to Thy words. And for our friends who have yet to obey the gospel of Christ through baptism, Father, please give them the boldness. Give them, Father, the decision, so that they, Father, may accept thy son's blood, and that they may accept Thy will and come into contact with Thy grace. We ask, Father, that this may be done for Thy honor and for Thy glory, asking for the forgiveness of our sins, for we pray in Christ's mighty name. Amen. As we begin to conclude this third quarter's theme, where we have been identifying modern-day religious error, and we, of course, have been doing so with the intent of holding fast to the truth, I want to begin this morning as the conclusion by first speaking about the common thread, the common link, if you will, between all those that are modern-day religious error. Hence the title, Birds of a Feather. If you've heard that expression, well, you know that it goes, birds of a feather fly together. And although they may claim to be different entities, although they may claim to be different and separate from one another, the reality is that every denomination has the same common trend that you can find in them. They have the same feathers, if you will. They may try to call themselves a different species or have a different call, but at heart and in essence, they are no different from any other false prophet or false teacher who has come before them and will come after them. Notice how in 2 Peter chapter 2, the word also is found in verse 1. But there were also false prophets among the people, referring to the people of Israel. Referring to the time where even when they were in Egypt, there were charlatans that would do also certain types of magic or parlor tricks, trying to call themselves gods as well. But then we read the word will. There will be false teachers among you. What we learn from this is where this has something that always been a problem in the past, it is not a problem that is going to stop happening today. Thus there will be false teachers among us. Pay close attention to the similitude or the interchangeable between the word prophet and teacher, for they are one and the same as used by the Holy Spirit here. Thus we have to understand that when we identify modern day religion, modern day error, well, we are going to be able to spot it by the techniques that are used by these false prophets and false teachers. That they're all going to use the same tactics. They're all going to have the similar trends in their mind. And these common threads that you and I are going to be able to find, or that we have been examining as we have been seeing many of these false concepts that are out there in the world, and many more that we did not have enough time to approach. The one thing is clear, that the points that we will be seeing in the time that has been allotted to us this morning, they are always present in every single one of those false religions. If you will please go with me to Joshua chapter 9. Joshua chapter 9, where we'll take an example of the past. Once again, there was also false prophets among them. And notice in chapter 9, where we will see the example of those known as the Gibeonites. And we use this as an example because their technique and their approach to getting what they wanted is a common feather, if you will, in these birds of a feather. Chapter 9, beginning at verse 1, "And it came to pass when all the kings who were on this side of the Jordan, in the hills and in the lowland, and all the coasts of the great sea toward Lebanon, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and Jebusite heard about it, that they gathered together to fight with Joshua and Israel with one accord. But when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard that Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they worked craftily and went and pretended to be ambassadors. And they took old sacks on their donkeys, old wineskins torn and mended, old and patched sandals on their feet, and old garments on themselves, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua to camp at Gilgal and said to him and to the men of Israel, 'We have come from a far country. Now therefore make a covenant with us.'" Jump down to verse 14. "The men of Israel took some of their provisions." Then the men of Israel took some of their provisions, but they did not ask counsel of the Lord. So Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them to let them live, and the rulers of the congregation swore to them. And it happened at the end of 3 days, after they had made a covenant with them, that they heard that they were their neighbors who dwelt near them. Notice, brethren, the first trend and the first thread, the first feather, if you will, that all these false religions and erroneous thoughts have in common. They all work deceptively. They all work craftily. And what they do is that they all give you an appearance of godliness, and they give you an appearance that appeals to the ethos, or the heart, the emotions. In other words, they all cater to your emotions and your heart, but none of them will cater to your reason. None of them will cater to God's truth. They try to make you to feel sorry for them. They try to make you emotional, and they try to get you invested emotionally. What we see with the people, with the inhabitants of Gibeon, is that they began by putting on this facade of being poor and miserable. From there, we see the craftiness of these people. And by definition, because of their deception, we can then say that they were false prophets. Because they proclaim to be one thing, but in reality, beneath all of that moldy clothing, beneath all of those torn garments, they were a completely different person. You know, when the Apostle Paul spoke to the Ephesian elders, there in on Miletus, he described those false teachers who were going to enter amongst them and from among them as wolves dressed in sheep's clothing. Well, this is what the Gibeonites did. This is exactly how they portrayed themselves. They portrayed themselves to be allies when in reality they were enemies of Israel. They were part of the people that God had commanded to completely cast out of the land. They forced Israel to break his commandment because God told him not to enter into covenant with none of the inhabitants of the land. But did you notice, brethren, in verse 14 and through verse 16, how this happened? The way that they fell prey to the deception of the Gibeonites. Verse 14 is very clear, and it says that they did not ask counsel of the Lord. They allowed their hearts and their emotions and their eyes to deceive them. They allowed their feelings, brethren, to ensnare them. Now we understand that we cannot be cold either. We understand that we must not either be apathetic or indifferent toward the needs of our neighbors and our friends. But brethren, being cold is just as bad as being lukewarm. There has to be a balance. And that balance is provided by God's counsel found in His Word. We have to consult God, brethren. We have to ask of God for guidance to be able to know if indeed those who are before us are our allies or if they are our enemies. If they are truly people wanting to fulfill and comply with the will of God, or if they are simply putting on a facade who are after their own nefarious purposes. You see, brethren, we have to learn to console God. We have to learn to console, God. We have to learn to ask of Him. And I'm not referring to prayer. I'm referring to actually studying the Word of God and putting to this test, that is the Word of God, what they claim to be truth, what they believe to be truth, and what they want to force to be true. You see, when we read this scripture in verse 14, we see that had Joshua been wise and prudent, and had he consulted God to see if what these people were saying was true, God would have exposed them. Is that not the case with the Word of God today? When we put to the test those philosophies, those doctrines, as we've done so, or rather we've made the attempt to do so together during these last 3 months, we have allowed the Word of God to expose the falseness of it. We have allowed God Himself through His Word to remove the mask and to show the wolf behind the sheep's clothing. And we have been able to see, brethren, that this is going to be true in every denomination that claims to be true. The simple fact that they say they're a denomination, they are already denying themselves to be true. Because the one true church is not a denomination. It is the true church that Christ established here on earth. Thus, when we see this, brethren, we begin by noticing that a common feather that these birds have is that art of craftiness in deception. That they're going to appeal to the emotions. They're going to appeal to the heart. They're not going to appeal, nor is it in their interest to appeal to our reason. They're going to try to make us emotional where our reason and our judgment is clouded so that they can enter into a covenant with us. But we must always be ready to consult our God through His Word. We must be ready to answer their emotional pleas with God's righteous Word. Because it does not matter, whoever does not belong to God's kingdom will try to portray themselves as if they were citizens of this kingdom. They are imposters, they are usurpers who are trying to supplant us from the kingdom that belongs to our God. Go with me now to John chapter 12. Go with me now to John chapter 12, where we will see another feather that all of these denominations share. John chapter 12, beginning there at verse 39. Well, beginning at verse 37. But although He had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in Him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled which he spoke. Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts, and turn so that I should heal them. These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Another feather that they all share in common is that they will cater to the creation and not the Creator. And here we are seeing why. If you pay close attention to the context that we read, Isaiah has prophesied this from the also that we mentioned in 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 verse 1. There were also false prophets among the people. So Isaiah is speaking in his time how there were people there when he was already prophesying these words who did not want to see, who chose to close their eyes to the truth of God. It was not the fact that light could not shine through. It was the fact that they did not want to see the light. But then as we continue to read of Isaiah, we see in verse 42 and verse 43 where the inspired John tells us the root cause for this. It wasn't that God's word was too hard to understand. It wasn't that God's word was not clear enough. It was not that the fact that everyone could have their private interpretation of how they interpret God's word. Quite simply put, it was that they were looking for the glory of men instead of the glory of God. And thus, because they catered to creation instead of the Creator, well, this is something they all share. You see, if they were trying to follow God's commandments, they then would worship God in spirit and in truth. They would approach God with reverence, and they would esteem Him as holy and praise His name. Leviticus chapter 10, beginning at verse 1 through verse 3, teaches us this. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1, gives us the warning that we must all heed, that when we go to the house of God, we must guard our feet. But these people, brethren, these birds of a feather that share these same feathers, those who share these same feathers are not looking to glorify God, are not looking to honor or revere God, which is why they shape what they consider or blasphemously call worship to cater to the masses that they're trying to entertain. The fact that they are focusing on the heart of man and how to bend that heart to their will, how to get them to achieve the goal that they're searching from, proves to us that their focus is not honoring God. Their focus is not in edifying with God's word, both which are the will and purpose of our God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 through chapter 14 clearly shows us that the reasons that we have been given all a talent spiritually is not so that we can boast about it. It is not so that we can abuse it, take advantage of it, and get our own gains from it. But it is so that we can first and foremost honor God, and secondly, so that we can edify and build upon each other. But you see, if we were to do that, well then, I cannot earn or gain what I'm really after, can I? It does not match up with my own personal goals. And this is something that every false religion has in common. They will always put at the center the creation, meaning man. This is similar to what we read in Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 20 and forward. They do not give God His glory because they want to make themselves gods, and they want to believe that God will have to accept it because He has no other choice. Birds of a feather fly together. We see that they work craftily. They work through deception. We see that they do not honor God, but they put man in high esteem. But another thing that they have in common, friends, is that they are murderers like their father is. Go with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Beginning there at verse 42. Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore you do not hear, because you are not of God." These are not my words, brethren. These are Jesus' words. And we see that Jesus is speaking to a crowd of Jews. Scribes, Pharisees, and Sadducees found amongst them. And we see that this conversation began over there in verse 13. After in verses 1 through 12, Jesus refuses to unrighteously condemn a woman that was caught in adultery. But observe the context once again of what you and I are reading. Jesus declares them to be murderers because they were doing the same works of their father, the devil. You have to ask yourself, well, how did the devil murder mankind? How is the devil a murderer? How is he a lethal assassin? Well, the reality is that he did it through lying. And he did it by twisting the word of God. He did it by adding to the word of God. You see, brethren, this is something that every false religion does. They take from God's word. They add to God's word. And then what God's word already says, they twist it to make it say something else, as if they were some type of ventriloquist doll. They make God's word, by taking it out of context, say what they want it to say. And when we do that, brethren, we have to understand that we are lying. And when we lie with God's word by perverting it and contaminating it, we then are murdering souls. Because we're leading them astray. "You shall not die," said Satan out in the garden. "You shall not die." One word is all Satan added for us to still die today. You see, God knows. God knows that the day that you eat of it, you will be like him. Have you ever stopped to think about what Satan was accusing God of there? Have you ever stopped to pause and consider the insinuation, the implication that Satan was making there? Have you ever gone to Job and compared it and seen that it's the exact same implication that he's making there? Is that not the same with his false prophets and his false teachers? Are they not implying that God's word is not enough? That God's purposes are not really known to mankind, that there's an ulterior motive on behalf of God, and because of that we have to change it, adjust it, not fully rely upon it? We are accusing God of being the liar, when in reality we are the liars, because in God it is impossible to lie. Titus chapter 1 verses 1 through 3. It is impossible for God to lie. And the reason is because there is no shadow of variance in him. James chapter 1, beginning at verse 13 and 4. What God speaks, that stands forever, says Psalm 38. And if it is God's word that sanctifies us, John 17, 17, Psalm 119, 160, then how could that word be incomplete, insufficient, and wanting adjustment or our help? But false teachers and prophets and religions do that to God's word. They take from it what is not convenient for their purpose. They add to it what is convenient to their purpose. And they twist by taking out of the proper context what they see bestly fit for their own gain. But Christ says that whoever does that is a murderer. Because like Satan got mankind kicked out of the garden, like Satan achieved the goal of giving entrance into death, into the garden, those who follow these erroneous religions, those who promulgate, espouse those false doctrines, those who teach and preach false doctrine, they are murderers, and they prove themselves to be children of the devil. Birds of a feather. We just didn't expect the feather to belong to Satan himself, did we? You know, Paul makes the same point as we, if we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning there at verse 11. In fact, actually, beginning at verse 10, as the truth of Christ is in me, no one shall stop me from this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Why? Because I do not love you? God knows. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Well, why didn't we just read this passage and get our lesson over with sooner? Because all three elements are in there, isn't there? We see their craftiness and deceitfulness in their transformation. We see how they are praising and glorifying man above God because they're putting themselves in the place that belong to God. They are catering to the hearts of men, seeking for the glory of men. But notice how they are liars and murderers like their father the devil. Because Paul teaches us inspired that we should not wonder, because Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Not that he's an angel of light, he makes himself appear like an angel of light. Well, he has to, or else he wouldn't be successful in tempting those who are godly. Who would be ready to fall prey to an image that is dreadful and intimidating? False religions, brethren, all of them, false teachers, false doctrine, everything that has false in it, will have these three elements, these three threads, if you will, in common. Which is why our Lord Jesus Christ, if you go with me to Matthew chapter 7, he teaches us that it is possible to identify a false teacher. That it is possible to know false preachers. Chapter 7, verses 15 through 20. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Have you ever seen a rabid sheep? Have you ever seen a sheep with sharp teeth? Have you ever met a sheep that growls at you? It's not a sheep. No matter how much you think it is, it's not a sheep. Sheep are not ravenous. They're docile. They're meek. He may look like a sheep, but if his teeth are sharp and he's salivating because he wants to eat you, that's a wolf dressed as a sheep. But you have to pay close attention to it, don't you? You have to watch closely. You have to observe closely. Because you have to see, are those teeth or are those sharp teeth? Why is the snout outward? Do sheep have snouts that way? Oh my, grandmother, said Little Red Riding Hood, right? What great teeth you have. But the Bible continues. You will know them by their fruits. Well, we just saw three examples this morning. You will know them when they dress up as if they were godly, only to appeal to your heart, to make you feel sorry for them, to make you want to not resist them, and make you believe that they are interested in your salvation when they're not. They're interested in the fame. They're interested in the entertainment. They're interested in your money and in your worship. For them, not for God. They're not interested in you. They're not interested in your soul. They're not interested in your salvation. You know why? Because the one sermon you will never hear them preach is on sin. They will never preach on sin. Because sin scares people away. Hell scares people away. God's righteous wrath scares people away. But it doesn't stop being true. Just because I don't speak the truth doesn't mean that it isn't true. They will always place you on the pedestal. And they will sit you on the throne. They will cater to you. The moment you complain about something you don't like, they're going to change it because they don't want you to leave. But they're not going to ask, is that what God ordains? Is that what God approves? Because it's not about God. It's about themselves and you. They're murderers. They're not going to preach about salvation. They can't. They cannot tell you what the pathway to salvation is, because that would then force them to have to speak about sin and obedience and submission. Words that have been made by them trigger words that push people away. Because their focus is entertaining and keeping the bodies in the pews, well then they refuse to speak about salvation. But they're not interested in saving you. They're interested in gaining something from you. And when you think about it, well, like their father, they're interested in stealing your soul from you. Our Lord Jesus Christ says, "You will know them by their fruits." Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. You will not assume. You will know, says the Lord. Brethren, Jesus spoke these words thousands of years ago. It was true in the Old Testament. And it is still true today under the New Testament. Notice that there are birds of a feather. Because they all have that in common. They all bear bad fruit. They all bear poisonous fruit. Do you know what makes belladonna so dangerous? It makes it dangerous that it looks like berries. It has the texture, the color, the size. If you're not careful, nightshade could be what you are ingesting. And great quantities of nightshade is deadly. That's what happens when you become immersed in false religion, which is why we've been preaching this entire quarter about it. Because if you get in too deep into these false ideas, these false concepts, there is a danger that there may be no return for you. Because you've already ingested too much poison to your soul. Thus this morning, my friend, this morning my question to you is, will you allow the Word of God, His truth and only His truth, the whole counsel of God, will you allow it to pump your soul clean of all that false poison that Satan has wanted you to ingest? Are you willing to sit down and reason with God as Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18 teaches? Are you willing to allow God and His Word to teach you what the pathway to heaven truly is? Or will you continue to ingest lies, letting your heart snare you, not allowing your mind, your reason, to balance your emotions out with the entire Word of God, which has the power to sanctify you? Because by the way, it is Jesus Himself who declares, sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. John 17:17. My brother and my sister, have you fallen prey to false religion and have not even realized it? Have you made a covenant with those Gibeonites, those spiritual Gibeonites who are deceiving you? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we read where the Apostle Paul declares, get out from amongst them, separate yourselves from them. Are you feeling sorry for those murderers and not realizing and ignoring what they are doing to so many souls that Christ died for? Or are you donning the armor of light to combat and confront those wolves so that you can rip out from their sharp teeth those possible lambs and sheep that can belong to the flock of Christ? Has your heart ensnared you, brother or sister? Because you do not want to stand firm on the Word of God. We can pray for you today. And we can help you. We can pray with you, if you are willing. And we can work together to fight off those ravenous wolves so that we can bring more lost sheep to the feet of the Great Shepherd Himself. If anyone is here this morning, subject to this loving invitation, we strongly encourage you to come forward as we stand and we sing.